are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. On behalf of MCCP, I'd like to wish you a Ramadan Mubarak. We are excited to be bringing you a full hour of programming today. But first, we'd like to remind the community that MCCP is hosting catered iftars each Saturday and Sunday evening. Taraweeh prayers are led each night by Dr. Omar Saeed, as well as dhikr Sunday mornings after Fajr. We hope to see you at MCCP during this month, and may this season be full of blessings and peace for you and your family. Today we have special archival programming, two lectures from Imam Mamadou Touré, recorded at the old MCCP building on MLK over a decade ago. This first lecture by Imam Touré is entitled The Heart of the Quran.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Inna alhamdu wa shukru lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nahmadullaha tabaraka wa ta'ala. ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله الحمد لله الذي هدانا للاسلام وجعلنا من المسلمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله سبحانه وتعالى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد البشير النذير صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وشاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا ودائيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منير وعلى آله وأصحابه طيبين طاهرين ومن تبعهم بالإسلام والإيمان والإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The ulama of tafsir, or the scholars of the science of interpretation of the Quran, divide the Quran into 3 different ways of division, if you will. They speak of what is called al-jasadul Quran, Al-Qalb al-Qur'an, Wal-Ruh al-Qur'an. They speak of what is called first Al-Jasad al-Qur'an, or the physical body of the Qur'an. And this consists in all of the verses that are directly related to the ahkam, or the rulings in particular, as they relate to the 5 pillars of Islam, the 5 pillars of the Shahada, the Salah, the Zakah, the Sawm, and the Hajj. Then they speak of Al-Qalb al-Qur'an, or the heart of the Qur'an. And this consists in all of the verses that relates to the articles of faith. Believing in Allah, in His messengers, and in His books, and in the Qadr, and in the Malaika. Then they speak of Ar-Ruh al-Qur'an, or the soul of the Qur'an. And these are those that relate to all of the akhlaq, or the character traits, the transformation that is the goal of the Qur'an, so that we can shift from what we are to what Allah intended when He created us. When you look at the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all three of these are contained in it. There are three verses in the Qur'an that speak directly about the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and each one of them use essentially the same language. One of them, Allah says in the Qur'an, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَحَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَطْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُذَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Said that Allah has indeed given a great favor to the believers when He sent to them, raised from among themselves a prophet, يَطْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, who recited them the verses of the Qur'an, access to the Qur'an then through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to internally purify them, وَيَعْلِمُهُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ, and teach them the book and teach them the wisdom. In the beginning of Surah Ibrahim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah explained very clearly the goal. كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Allah said, this book, we've sent it down to you so that through this book you may take mankind out of all of the darknesses, plural, into the light, singular. And this is why there are many darknesses, as many people, and people have different kinds of darknesses. For some people, it's the love of the world. For some people, it's the love of women, or it's the love of men, or it is anger, it is jealousy, it is any kind of all or any kinds of addictions. The message in this verse is that anybody that has any kind of darkness, although they may be different from people to people, with the help and the guidance of the Quran, Allah can take you out of that darkness and lead you to the light, singular, the light being Him, because Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ardu, Allah says in Surah Nur, and this is why there is no Anwar in the Quran. Nowhere in the Quran there is the word, the plural of light, like lights, because Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. The word Nur is used over 25 times in the Quran. It is always used in the singular. This is directly related to the consistency of the Quran. In another verse, Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِئُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. A very important verse, although all of the verses of the Quran are important, but it once stresses what should be the primary relationship between us and the Quran. فَاتَّبِئُوهُ, follow the Quran. يعني, put the Quran into practice. So the Quran is not a book that we just read and love, although we should do that. It's not a book that we just put on the higher shelf and live there. It's not a book that we just memorize, but there is a book that we have to put into practice, because the good of the Quran comes only from putting actually the Quran into practice, so that we become physical embodiments of the Quran. And this is why when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked the question, what was the character of the Prophet? She said, كان خلقه القرآن, his character was the Quran, meaning he was the physical embodiment of the Quran. The Quran is supposed to guide and transform, but that transformation only takes place if our behavior has to be affected by our reading of and meditation on the Quran. If not, the Quran is of very little use to us. In Surah Bani Israel, Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَحْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, said this book guides to that which is the best and the most upright, so that anything that we want to be the best of, if we want to be the best father, the best engineer, the best mother, the best neighbor, the best husband, the Quran will make us that which is best, but only under the condition of following the directions of the Quran, putting it into practice so that we become, the Quran can be seen through the conduct that we have. In relation to the ruh or the soul of the Quran, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullahu subhanahu, relates in his book Ya Ayyuhal Walad, a conversation that took place in the classical era, 6th century of the Common Era, a conversation between the teacher and the student about what was the essence and the heart of the Quran. And this conversation has been so significant in terms of how it beautifully really summarizes the transformative power of the Quran that has been related from that classical era of Islam down through many generations up to the 11th century when Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali lived, and he related the story in his book, Ya Ayyuhal Walad. This consists of mainly 8 verses of the Quran that when you look at them have a direct transformative power and in a real sense constitute the essence of the Quran, and we will look at them when we return, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This then is a conversation that took place between the teacher and his student. The teacher taught for 30 years. His student taught him Quran. At the end of the 30 years, he told him, "You've learned the Quran from me for 30 years. What is it that you have learned from me?" He told him, "Everything that I've learned from you about the Quran relate to 8 verses of the Quran that have since then been known as the 8 gems of Quranic wisdom. 8 verses from the Quran that really constitute in a lot of ways a summary of the essence of the Quran. This is not the whole Quran, this is not the whole essence of the Quran, but rather a summary of the essence of the Quran." He said, "From my meditations, I've come to these 8 verses, and I have been very profoundly affected in my conduct by these 8 verses." He said, "First, I looked around me, and I saw that everybody had people or things that they loved. And the people that they loved would be with them when they were alive. They would be with them when things were going well. They would be with them even when they were through a grave illness. And they will be with them when they die, that they will accompany them all the way to the door of the grave, but then they will return." He said, "Then I started meditating on what kind of a friend is such a friend that this friend will not leave you at the door of the grave, but will go with you all the way inside the grave." And as I meditated on everything that the human being possessed, I saw that there is only one thing that can be that friend, and that is the good deeds that we do, because when we die, nothing goes into the grave with us except the good deeds that we have done to be of benefit. He says, "So I meditated on the verse of the Quran, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ, that which endures, that which lasts forever, is best," which is Surah Maryam, Ayah 76. He said, "I meditated on that verse and I realized that the only thing that goes with you in your grave are your good deeds. So I decided to love everything moderately and to love the good deeds, because this is the only thing that is essentially, when it's all said and done, of any value of any significance, because this is the only thing that will go with you inside your grave." He said, "Then I looked around and I saw that many people around me were very quick to satisfy the desires of their nafs. The passions, most people around me were driven by their passions, and most acts that they did were done based on these passions." He said, "Then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Nazi'at 40 and 41, where Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَحَ النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. He said, "Then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the one who fears the day in which they will stand before their Lord, and as a result of that, they restrained their nafs or their lower self from their passions, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Then such a people will be rewarded with Jannah. He said, when I meditated on this verse, instead of following the passions of my nafs, I started to fight and fight my nafs until it became submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, number three, I looked around me and I saw that most people obsessed over the acquisition and the safekeeping of things of this world. I saw that most people were very deeply driven by the acquisition of things, more things, more things, more things. He said that I meditated on the verse of the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 96, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ That which is you with you, it comes to an end sooner or later. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ But that which is with Allah, it lives on for eternity. So that I started realizing, he said, that anything that we have in this world sooner or later comes to an end. You have wealth. Either you can lose that wealth and become poor, or you can die and leave it here. But sooner or later it comes to an end because there's nothing that is eternal except the face of Allah. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Everything that is on this earth will perish. The only thing that will endure forever is the face of your Lord, ذو الجلال والإكرام. He said, then I started redefining my relationship with the things in this world and get myself to the point where I'm not possessed by the things that I own as many people, not so much they own wealth, but rather wealth own them. And I got myself away from that mindset through meditating on this verse of the Quran that taught me that everything ultimately that I have will come to an end. He said, I looked around and I saw that many people would seek honor in different things, to seek to be honored and to seek to be respected because of different things. Maybe people will respect me if I have a lot of money. Maybe people will respect me if I have a position of power. Maybe people will respect me if I have this. And then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna akramukum عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ That verily the best among you in the sight of Allah is the one that is the most God-conscious, the one who is most aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where the true honor and the true nobility is. So I decided to stop looking for honor in the sight of God, in the sight of other people, and I sought to be honorable in the sight of God through being conscious and aware of Allah. You look at this person that just walked in here with his keys banging. This is the house of Allah, and we are on the Friday Jummah, and we're doing the khutbah. This utter lack of respect for the house of God, not for me, not for anybody, but for the house of God and for the sacredness of the hour. This is the lack of God consciousness that we talk about. Yet this is ultimately where things are defined. You're walking in like you're walking into a club or into a market. You can put your hands on your keys so that there is no noise. But this is where Islam, what Islam has come to. God awareness is being aware of Allah in the most minute details, in particular when no one is looking. Continuing the conversation, he said, I looked around me and I saw that most people envied each other and they fought each other. And when people would fight each other, it's often because of something that they were envious of. This person, you envy this person because of the knowledge that they have. You envy this person because of the taqwa that they have. You envy this person because of the wealth that they have. You envy this person because of things that they have. He said, then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in which Allah says, نَحْنُ قَسَّمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Allah says, I'm the one that distributes all of the things that is given to mankind. Anything that we have, this is the result of distribution. Taqwa is distributed. so that it's not everybody that's going to walk into this masjid with the kind of disrespect that this person just walked in here for the house of Allah, banging his keys like he's entering into a club. When the Prophet ﷺ said, when you're giving a Jummah, when you're giving a Jummah, the angels are sitting, and as soon as the Imam climbs up on the minbar, they close their books and they start listening. To have that or not to have that, it's part of the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah will give it to all of us. He said, but when I read that, I realized that people that have things, whatever people have, this is part of the distribution of Allah. And I started trusting in the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stopped being envious of people. He said, I looked around me and I saw that most of people had enemies. People that they said, this is my enemy because he wants my position. This is my enemy because he wants my wife. This is my enemy because he wants any number of things. He said, then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Fatir, ayah 6, in which Allah says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَتَخُذُوهُ عَدُوًا. The shaitan is your enemy, so take him as an enemy. And I realized that ultimately we only have one enemy, and that enemy is shaitan. And I started to fight against shaitan and stop looking at other human beings as my enemies. He said, I meditated and I looked around me and I saw that most people would go to great length to have this subsistence. Even they would lie, they would cheat, they would steal to have their subsistence. Then I meditated on the verse of the Quran in Surah Tuhud, ayah 6, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is not a single creature on the face of this earth except that Allah has guaranteed their sustenance. He says, so I started seeking my sustenance, my sustenance in a moderate way, and I trusted in Allah's ability to provide me with that sustenance. He said, I finally, number 8, looked around me and I saw that people trust in different things and in different people. I trust this person, and I trust in my abilities, I trust in my skills. And I read and I meditated on the verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Talaq, ayah 3, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whomsoever trust in Allah, Allah would be enough. So I decided to stop trusting on other people and trusting in things, and I decided to put my trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Trust in Allah who's alive and doesn't die. Your bodyguard that you trust for your safety sooner or later has to go to the bathroom. Sooner or later has to go to sleep. وَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. This is the deep message that is given in the Ayatul Kursi, right at the beginning. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. It's very profound when you meditate. Allah, he says, no slumber overtakes him, nor does he sleep. The message was, if you're going to trust on anything, this is the one that you trust, because everybody else slumbers and is overtaken by sleep, except Allah Azza wa Jalla. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. When you read that, this is the eternal guardian that does not sleep, doesn't need to go get something to eat, doesn't need to get some rest. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. If you trust in this Lord, it would be enough for you. So that these 8 verses, he told him that these are the summaries of the heart of the Quran. When we look at them, we are affected directly in our conduct. We are transformed in the way we perceive the world and the things of this world, and we define ourselves in a clear way in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah will make it easy for us to follow the essence of these verses. We pray that Allah will make it easy for us to be transformed by the Quran. We pray that Allah will bless us so that we become conscious of Him. We pray that Allah will make us people that at all time and all places will be respectful in our conduct of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You are listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Our first lecture today was by Imam Mamadou Touré, entitled The Heart of the Quran. We will be back with another talk given by Imam Ture in just a moment. At first, we'd like to thank our listeners for the work that they did in contributing to KBOO's Winter Pledge Drive. KBOO was successfully able to meet their fundraising goal, and we thank all of our listeners who were able to contribute to that effort. However, as we are in the month of Ramadan and all deeds are magnified, we encourage you to continue in your efforts, whether that is at KBOO or at another organization. All wealth is something that is alone given to us by Allah. And so please, as you are able, give in your charity. You can do so easily at kboo.fm and at mccpdx.org. Thank you, and may Allah bless your effort. Normally at this hour, we do break away to Pathways, but Islamic Point of View here today is going for a full hour of programming. Pathways will return next week at its normally scheduled time. Up next, we have Imam Ture with a second lecture, given again around a decade ago at the old MCCP building on MLK. This lecture is entitled Quranic Solutions.
Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Faman yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abduhu wa rasuluh. Alhamdulillahi wahidul ahad al-wahidul ahadul fardu samadul ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakullahu kufuan ahad al-ladhi yad'ul insana ila dar salam wa yahdi man yasha'u ila siratin mustaqim wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad al-Bashir al-Nadhir sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-ladhi arsalahu Allah rahmatan lil'alamin wa shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'iznihi wa sirajan munir wa ala alihi wa sahabihi tayyibin tahirin wa man tabi'ahum bil-islami wal-imani wal-ihsan ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. The subject of our short khutbah today is Quranic solutions for the state of the Ummah today. All over the Muslim world, there's a certain type of conference that often takes place, which is called State of the Ummah conferences. These are conferences that are taking place all over the Muslim world, during which scholars gather together and hold these conferences where they discuss the reasons why the Ummah is in the condition in which it is in, and at the same time they propose solutions. Often during these conferences, these groups are divided in two. One group points the fingers at forces outside of Islam and say these are the reason why we're in the condition in which we are in. Often, those forces outside of Islam, that is essentially the West, that they blame for the condition in which the Ummah is. The second group is part of a group, or an emerging group, if you will, that is called Muslim apologetics. And these are Muslims that propose a radical revision of the core Islamic texts. They say to make it more, quote unquote, suitable to the 21st century. Both of these groups and both of these, quote unquote, solutions are not only wrong, but they are also dangerous. They are wrong and they are dangerous. And what makes them dangerous is because they put the ummah in worse and worse situation than what we find ourselves in already, or at least perpetrate the current condition in which we find ourselves. Those who point the finger to the West and to the quote-unquote forces outside of Islam say it's the West. You are the reason why we are in this condition. You are the one who is oppressing us, and we have to take revenge. Then terrorism is born, and 9/11 is born, and the bombings in London is born, which contributes in giving this idea of Islam as being a religion of violence, not just even violence, but wanton violence, a religion that condones the killing of innocent people. For those who propose a revision of the sacred texts of Islam, meaning essentially we have to revise the Quran and make it more adaptable to our times. We have to revise the Hadith and make it more suitable to our time, without understanding that the core of it does not change. But within the Quran and within the Hadith are inner structures that allow it to be applied to every single time that will come until the Day of Judgment. Because this is the last book that will come, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet that would come. What they have failed to do is, if we're going to talk about the issues of the ummah, if we are going to talk about the condition in which we find ourselves in, we have to look into the Quran for not only the reasons why we are in this condition, but more importantly for the solutions, because Allah says that He sent the Quran tibyana likulli shay, that it has the explanation and the exposition of absolutely everything and any question that we can have. When we look at the condition of the ummah and the reasons and the solutions for that in the light of the Quran, then we come with four very fundamental points. The first one is that success, if we're going to have success, the success will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first point. No matter what we do, no matter how many conferences we hold, the help will only come from Allah. And once that help of Allah comes, then we will have success. This is what Allah says in the Quran in many verses. وَمَعَ النَّصْرِ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Allah says, and help comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of majesty and full of wisdom. This is Surah Ali Imran, ayah 126. That help only comes from Allah. But what happens when the help of Allah comes? إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, there is no one or nothing that can defeat you. And what that means is that anything that we commit ourselves to doing, we will be successful at doing that if we have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. And this is Surah Ali Imran, ayah 160. So then we know that we cannot be successful unless we receive help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not free. And this is the point that is missed by anybody, by many people. That help of Allah is not free. What comes from Allah? Allah does not give anything. Except with that giving comes responsibility, which means essentially then it is really not giving. The wealth that we have, we say Allah gave us this. If I give you $10 and I say, here, I give you $10, you can take a match and burn it, and there will be no accounting because it's yours. You can give it to somebody else. You can spend it any which way you like. The wealth that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, we are going to be called to account for that. So it's not really a gift. If Allah gave it to us, and on the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about wealth. Two questions the Prophet ﷺ said: how we acquired the wealth and how we spent it. Even if we have been poor all of our lives, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer this question. So that what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that help, that is the only way we can reach success, is not something that is free. It is conditioned. It is attached to conditions. That there are certain conditions that the ummah needs to fulfill if we are to receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second point. Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In Surah Rum, ayah 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made it incumbent upon us. حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا. We've made it an obligation upon us, meaning Allah, Nasru, to help. And here the conditions come, mu'mineen. Not kana alayna nasrul muslimin. No, I have made it incumbent upon me to help those who fulfill the criteria of iman. Surah Rum 47. In Surah Muhammad, ayah 7, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help in the way of Allah, then Allah will help you. This is the condition. And as a side note, in this verse is an example, or one of the many examples, where you cannot translate the Quran literally from what it says, but rather the meaning, because the literal meaning would have absolutely no sense. In this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, if you believe, O you who believe, إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ, if you translate literally, that means, if you help Allah, يَنْصُرْكُمْ, then Allah will help you. And we know that Allah does not need any help from us. إِنَّ لَهَا غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is absolutely free from need and want. So that the proper translation is, even though many says, O you who believe, if you help Allah, Allah will help you, that's a wrong translation. إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is totally free from need, so that it should be translated as, these, if you help in the way of Allah, if you help establish the deen of Allah on earth, then Allah will come to your help. And in Surah Hajj, ayah 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. And Allah will help those who help in his way. Surah Hajj, ayah 40, then Allah will help those who help to establish the deen of Allah on earth. Those that help to establish the Quran and the Sunnah on earth. Those who work to establish the way of Islam on earth, Allah says, Allah will help you, Allah will help them, and Allah will come to their succor. So this is the second point. So that the divine help that comes from Allah can only come if we fulfill the criteria of iman. And that is that we attach ourselves to Allah, and that means to his Quran, into Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to his Sunnah, then we will receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point is that if we fail to fulfill this criteria of attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnah al-Mutahhara, then the result will be that Allah will withdraw his support from us. Because we are not establishing the deen, Allah will restore his support from us. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَحُمْ. Surah Tawbah, ayah 67, one of the most frightening verses in the Quran. نَسُوا اللَّهَ, they forgot Allah, فَنَسِيَحُمْ, and Allah forgot all about them. And what will be our state if Allah forgets about us? Because we rely on and need and seek so much of him, and of his help, and of his succor, and of his sustenance, and of his guidance, and of his protection. What happens if he withdraws all of that from us? نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. So many passages in the Quran warns us about forgetting about Allah, lest Allah himself forgets us. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And don't be like the communities that came before, that forgot Allah And not only Allah forgot them, but Allah made them to forget themselves. You lose your identity as a Muslim. This is فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. You forget who you are. You walk around like somebody that has amnesia. Don't remember their name, don't remember their age, don't remember where they were born, don't remember where they came from, like you have amnesia. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ وَلَيْكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. So that not fulfilling this criteria will result in Allah withdrawing His support from us. But if we fulfill this criteria of Iman as an ummah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us the beneficiary or the beneficiaries of His support and of His help. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ghafir, ayah 51, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ دُنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Allah says, we will help our messengers, and we will help those who have faith. We will help them not only in this world, فِي الْحَيَاةِ دُنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ, and we will also help them not only in this world, I will help them, and on the day of judgment, the day when the witnesses stand, I will also help them. This is Surah Al-Ghafir, ayah 51. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, ayah 55, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا أَسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah says, and Allah has promised to those among you who have faith and do good deeds, that He will establish them successfully on earth, just like He did with those who came before this generation. So that these four points are very important to understand why we are in the ummah is in the condition in which it is right now. That help only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, that help is conditioned to us fulfilling certain conditions. If those conditions are not fulfilled, Allah will withdraw His help from us. And if these conditions are fulfilled, then Allah will make us the beneficiaries of His support. In the Quran, there is one verse that beautifully summarizes the reason why the ummah is in the condition in which it is in. And there is another verse in the Quran that proposes a solution to the condition of the ummah. Both of these verses are in Surah At-Tawbah, and we will look at them when we return, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. We often forget that a community is made up of individuals, that a community is nothing but a group of individuals that come together and then they form a community. So that the condition of a community, and we're talking about the community of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, so that the condition of a community, whether it is a good condition or a bad condition, is nothing but the result of the collective consciousness and attitude of the individuals who make up that community. And what that means is that your individual attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnah, by your attachment or lack of attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnah, by our attachment or lack of attachment to the Sharia of Islam, we participate in the fate of the Ummah. Whether that faith is good or whether that faith is bad. This idea of individual responsibility is often forgotten when we attend these conferences that talk about the state of the ummah. Yet in the verse in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the reasons why we are in the condition in which we are in, that concept of individual responsibility can be clearly seen. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, in ayah 24, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِينُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah says, in kana, tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the believers. Qul, Allah gave him a text. In kana aba'ukum, if your fathers and your forefathers وأبناءكم and your children, وإخوانكم and your brothers, وأزواجكم and your spouses, وعشيرتكم and your relatives, وأموال اقترفتموها and this wealth that you've saved, وتجارة تخشون كسادها and the commerce, the business, whatever kind of business, investments that you fear that maybe I will lose some money in this business venture or in this investment or in this job that I do. This وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكين ترضونها. And if the beautiful houses that you built and you delight in, if all of these are more beloved to you, if you love them more than you love Allah and His Messenger and the striving in the way of Allah, then wait until Allah brings down His judgment upon you, because Allah does not guide a people that are wrongdoers. This is Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 24. If the love that we have for the forefathers, for the spouses, for the monies, for the businesses, for the houses, for the dunya, if we love these, Allah said, if you love these more than you love Allah and His Messenger and the striving in His path, then my judgment is coming down upon you, because I don't guide wrongdoers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمٌ فَاسِقِينَ. If we look at this verse with integrity and we look at it with sincerity, we will see that a lot of the problems that the ummah has exist as a result of we are more attached to the dunya and we are more attached to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran. So that instead of pointing the fingers at outside forces, it's America that is doing it, it's the West that is doing it, it's the government that is doing it, we need to look at ourselves. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرٌ. Allah says in the Quran. Especially when we understand them in the deep sense in which they are meant in the Quran. For instance, Allah says, إِنْ كَانَ آبَعَكُمْ. Literally, it means your fathers. But in this verse of the Quran, not only your fathers, but the traditions of your fathers, the ways of your fathers, the cultures of your fathers. If your culture is more important to you than Islamic culture, and we Africans, we Pakistani, we Sudanese, we all grew up in particular cultural practices. Allah says, if you are choosing those cultural practices above what Allah has asked you to do, because this is what the Meccans did when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them to teach them, to tell them, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did He tell them? بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. No, we're not interested in that. This is what we find our forefathers doing, and this is what we are going to stick to. Like that is an example. This is an example. If the cultures of your fathers then, and the way of your fathers are more important to you, then Allah will bring down His judgment. إِخْوَانُكُمْ. In إِخْوَانُكُمْ, not just your physical brothers, but brothers within a restrained group, meaning members of a movement, members of a particular ideology, members of a certain group. Most of the time, even though we are Muslims, these people have their ideology, they have more loyalty to the ideology of the group than to the ideology of the Quran and to the ideology of the Sunnah. If it is a group or an organization, most of the time, it's more, they obey more the sheikh. And this is not something that people hear, but we that are born in African countries and even in Pakistani countries, most of us know what I'm talking about, because that's not an issue that you find so much among other people, African people that are born in this country. We follow sheikhs. Well, my sheikh said this. When your sheikh is not mentioned in the Quran, Allah did not send your sheikh to us. Allah says, أتوا الله وأتوا الرسول. But no, what the sheikh said, this is how we do it. Because this is what the sheikh said, not what Allah said and not what His Messenger said. This is the ikhwanikum. And then, of course, the hubudunia, the inordinate love that we have for the world, the houses that Allah mentioned, the beautiful houses that you delight in, and this commerce and this business that you have, and not knowing that pursuing it is not going to make it any better. But if you obey Allah in relation to it, then Allah is going to make your business better. When Allah praises people in the Quran, Allah praises a particular type of people. These are the people that Allah says, even though they're involved in businesses, even though they're involved in work, even though they're involved in commerce, this never prevents them from the remembrance of Allah and from following the Sharia. Allah says, رِجَالٌ مَنْ لَا تُلْحِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Surah An-Nur. So that Allah says, these are the reasons why you are more attached to these things than you are attached to the Quran and to the Sunnah. And this is why I have withdrawn my support from you. Because if you look at the state of the Ummah, you can tell very clearly that the support of Allah, إِن يَنْسُكُمُ اللَّهَ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ, Allah says, if I support you, you cannot be defeated. Wherever Muslims are all over, they are being defeated. We say Islam is a religion of knowledge. And the highest illiteracy rates in the world are among Muslim countries. And we say Islam is a religion. How can we let the non-Muslims believe that Islam is a religion of knowledge when the rate of illiteracy is higher than in any other, or the highest are among the Muslim countries? We say that Islam is a religion of cleanliness when if you travel in the Muslim world, some of the dirtiest places in the world are places, these are Muslim places. We say Islam is a religion of justice and of balance, which is what is meant to be because of the zakat, and you go into Muslim countries and you see the huge gap that exists between those who have filthy rich and the people that are going day to day without being able to have one meal during the day and are living in shacks. If you go to Mecca, right outside of Mecca, not even too far from Mecca, you go around the corner and you see shacks that mostly Indonesians, Pakistani, some of the foreigners live in conditions that if you see them, this is even worse than in the worst third world country, and they're doing it right around the corner from the haram. And we can help, and we hope, and we wonder why we're in the condition that we're in. This is supposed to be the people that are the custodians of the holy cities. And this is taking place right before their eyes. And they know that this is taking place. There's nothing that is provided for them. In shacks, families, horrendous. The solution, Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says the solution is, I made a bargain with you. You give me your whole self, and you give me everything that I have given you, your whole wealth. And in return, I will give you peace in this world, and I will give you peace in the hereafter. This is the Sa'adatu Darain. So then, what are the solutions that the Quran is proposing? One, the giving of one's whole self and one's whole wealth on the altar of sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we attach ourselves to the Quran and to the Sunnah above all else, that groups, ideologies, cultures, Allah takes precedence and His Messenger. That we enter into the deen, the whole of it, and not pick and choose what we do and what we don't do. And that we constantly keep in mind the Akhirah. And one of the ways of keeping in mind in Akhirah is not only through the salat and through the community coming together, but through the people. I see Muslims that come in this country and they're praying, they're coming into the masjid all the time. Especially the young people, especially the young Somali people. And within a month or 2 months, you see them out in the street in conditions that are absolutely horrendous. Why? Because there's something that is missing. And that is what is called the suhbatul abrar, the company that we keep. The company that we keep. Very, very vital. These are young people that come in. You see them in the masjid, Masjid Bilal. I'm over there at Masjid Bilal all the time. What is happening with the young people, especially the teenage Somali young people, you cannot describe it. And it's all because of the company. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and we'll close with this hadith. He said he was asked, Hayyu jula sa'ina khair. He was asked, who among the people that we sit with are the best? So the question was, who should we sit down with? Who should we keep company with? Who should we quote unquote hang out with? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ذَكَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ رُعْيَتُهُ. One that if you see him, you are immediately reminded of Allah at the mere sight of him or her. ذَكَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ رُعْيَتُهُ. He said, ذَادَكُمْ وَذَادَكُمْ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْ تَقُهُ. And that if you sit down with him, his speech will result in increase in knowledge for you. وَزَعَذَكُمْ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْ تَقُمْ. And when he speaks, your knowledge increases. And now sit down with someone for half hour, for 2 hours, and they're constantly talking, and you leave out there, and you haven't learned absolutely nothing. Because it is all lovely. He said, وَذَكَرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And his actions or her actions are such that if you look at his actions, you are reminded of the Akhirah. These are the conditions. And so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the help of this ummah, the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray that Allah will make it easy for us to attach ourselves to the Quran and to the Sunnah. We pray that Allah will make it easy for us to follow the Sharia. We pray that Allah will make it easy for us to fight all the forces that stand against Islam. We pray that Allah will make it, more importantly, easy for us to fight the forces that prevent us from the following of proper Islam. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا. فانصرنا على قوم الكافرين قد قاموا.
Been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today's lectures were both given by Imam Mamoudou Touré. This last lecture was entitled Quranic Solutions, and the first lecture was entitled The Heart of the Quran. Both lectures are from our archives and date back at least a decade, and were recorded at the old MCCP building on MLK. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, please consider a donation at kboo.fm and at mccpdx.org. Please follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland. And now on Instagram at @MCCPDX_IslamicPOV. Both these social media platforms are a great way to stay up to date on current news and information from MCCP. Again, MCCP is hosting iftars each weekend of Ramadan, Saturdays and Sunday evenings, Taraweeh prayers each night, and Dhikr on Sunday mornings. Islamic Point of View is a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Pathways will return again next week at its regular scheduled time. Thank you all for listening, and have a blessed day and a blessed Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
listening to KBOO Portland.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and KBOO Community Radio is very proud to be the first FM station in the state of Oregon to program jazz. Let's celebrate KBOO's diverse jazz programming and the jocks who volunteer their talent to share their love of jazz music. Jazz Appreciation Month, or JAM as it's affectionately known, represents a sweet spot in the lives of KBOO's music lovers. So join us on Wednesdays, noon to 4, and Saturdays, 2 to 5, throughout the month of April, as we toast America's greatest art form here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.